It is my pleasure and my delight to be with you on this Holy Tuesday. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit who has called us to be gathered here today and who calls us out to share the message of God's love and grace with the whole world. Amen. Many years ago now, I sat for hours at a bedside of an old woman who was dying. Her sons were unable to be with her, and they asked me to come in and be with her in her last hours on earth. There was nothing extraordinary about me either sitting with her or really with her dying. It's something that happens every day. Every hour, really. And as deaths go, it was a good death. She had lived a long life. She was sick. She was ready. It was an ordinary thing. But I would also say that this moment was, at the same time, extraordinary. Because she was Bobby. Bobby. Almost 6 feet tall and so fierce and so funny. She was formidable in her younger years, and she both scared me and intimidated me. She raised 2 boys after her husband died at a young age, putting them through college with a salary working at JCPenney. During that time, as I sat with her, me in my 20s and her in her 80s, me beginning this new calling as pastor, and Bobby ending her time on earth and entering into the saints triumphant, I thought as I held her hand and as I listened to her breath cease, what an amazing and what a hard calling this is. To be trusted with such an ordinary, extraordinary event. Now, as I am much older than that new pastor of 27. And after I have sat with many people in their grief and in their pain, in their joys and in their delights, as I have baptized hundreds and buried hundreds, as I have presided at the Lord's table and shaken countless hands, as I have done good works and made mistakes, as I have been forgiven in grace and as I have strived to forgive, as my theology and my worldview has changed and matured, opened and expanded, as I continue to wonder and live into who God is and what it means to follow Jesus, I am still amazed that I am trusted to be with people. With you, in the ordinary, extraordinary events that make up our lives, in the particular callings that we have all been given. As deacon, as chaplain, as priest, as pastor, as bishop. Y'all kind of feel this, right? I'm not alone in all of this. Of course, this calling from God, or callings from God, are not new. In the first reading today, we have feisty Isaiah, who tells people to stop paying attention to other things and listen to God through him. Isaiah says, "Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away." Isaiah, who confesses his tongue is like a sharp sword, and who also laments, saying, but I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God. Anyone with Isaiah? In Psalm 71, we have the psalmist who begins by pleading with God, "Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel." And then after lamenting, the psalmist trusts in the hope of the Lord. "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you." Anyone for the psalmist? In the epistle reading, we have Paul who writes to the church in Corinth. "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards." We could all go, yeah, right? "Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God." And then in the Gospel of John, we have the Greeks, Philip, Andrew, and the crowds who all state basically the same thing. We want to see Jesus. As we consider our own callings today, as we prepare to promise again what we promised in our ordinations, I ask, can you relate to any of these people in the scriptures to today? I want to see a show of hands. Anybody? There has to be something you heard right then, right? Isaiah, the psalmist, Paul, the Greeks, Philip, Andrew, the crowds, all did good, faithful work. All strove to do God's work. And let's face it, none of them had it all together. Not a one of them. They all had, we could say, stuff. But what else did they have? All of them had a calling. They all had a calling from God. An ordinary and an extraordinary calling from God. For all of them, I would venture, sometimes it was delightful. And sometimes it felt like their flesh was being pulled from their bones. Do you ever wonder, is it worth it, this calling? We could be like those who have gone before us lamenting, "But I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity." Or "Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel." Or maybe we simply whisper, "I just want to see Jesus." Do you ever wonder, with so much that is happening in this world, with the mass shootings that just keep going on and on, with apparently no reprieve, the 1 million plus people who have died of COVID in the United States against the LGBTQ community, apathy partnered with systemic racism and economic injustice, climate instability, financial difficulties, physical illness, mental illness, childhood trauma, breakdown of relationships, political divisions, sexism, misogyny, elitism, a former president who is going to be indicted today, I think. I could go on, and do you ever wonder, with all of this going on, do you ever wonder, what am I doing? What is my calling in the midst of all of this? with all that is around us in the world and in our communities, in our churches and in our families. What does it mean to hold the hand of someone dying? To study scripture? To lead confirmation? To pray in a hospital room? To work at a nonprofit for those who are without a house? To sit in a council meeting or a board meeting or a finance committee meeting and struggle with the budget? To baptize a baby, to listen to an addict, to preach the gospel of Jesus and his upside down peace, to prepare Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, and Easter morning worship services. Is it all too small? Is it mundane? Or perhaps, it's earth-shattering. This last week, I was with seminarians and faculty at one of the Lutheran seminaries. This seminary, Wartburg, is set in the middle of Iowa, and it's on top of a hill, kind of, you know. They consider it a hill. If you are familiar with Lutheran history, Wartburg Castle was where Martin Luther hid out so that he wasn't murdered by the dominant church at the time. And the seminary is built like Wartburg Castle, all stone and square German corners. They even use words like, well, we're going to meet in the tower, or that's in the castle, for certain spaces on campus. It was wonderful and amazing to meet with future deacons and pastors on this trip. I heard excitement, joy, trepidation, and a beautiful sense of God and the church calling them to ordained ministry. Together we talked about difficult things. Together we laughed and shared meals. But what surprised me were the emotions I felt when I was given a tour of some renovations that they are doing in one of the buildings, in Fritschel Hall. The renovations weren't that surprising to me. It makes sense that this 1914 building is being updated, so there'll be a new library space and a president's office. And the third floor, where many of the faculty offices are, will finally have a bathroom. It seems like probably a good upgrade. But the emotional reaction I had as I was wearing my hard hat and walking through this construction space, and I was hearing about elevators and exposed bricks and, yes, bathrooms, surprised me. I was surprised at how emotional I was. I actually got tears in my eyes. Now, I have never been to Wartburg. Well, I've been to Wartburg in Germany, but I've never been to Wartburg, Iowa, in Iowa. This isn't my seminary. I didn't go there. I have no sentimentality about this place. I've barely ever even been to Iowa. And yet, this renovation tour, as they were showing us what was going to happen, was undoing me. And I thought, what is happening? Why am I having to hide the tears in my eyes from the other hard-hatted people around me? And then I realized, I've been having so many conversations about anxiety and finances, property and congregational issues, that I had forgotten the hope and the promise that is in all of our callings. You see, in the middle of Iowa, in the ordinariness of remodeling a building, there is also something extraordinary happening. The sense that this calling we have been given was happening long before any of us were born. This calling that we have been given is given to us now. And there will be people being called after us. Yes, AI might be able to write a sermon in the style of Jonathan Edwards. Although truly, who would want that? But what we do, what we are called to do, continues and calls us, calls you and calls me day after day after day. And what is this calling? It is simply through our words and our actions, our day-to-day encounters, and our once-in-a-lifetime meeting up with someone we might not ever see again. It is the gathering of all the people God has given us to journey with and serve and argue with and wonder with, and saying to all of these people, with them, we wish to see Jesus. Jesus. Teacher, healer, companion, and Lord. Yes, and at the center, the heart of who he is, Jesus revealed at the cross. Jesus who draws all people to himself. Jesus who had allowed himself to be lifted up, even though he did cry out, as we hear in today's gospel, "Now my soul is troubled." I'm so thankful for Jesus for having those emotions and John writing them down. Jesus allowed himself to be lifted up so with all that is confusing or overwhelming or frightening, this world, the circumstances in our lives, our questions, our griefs, the weight that we carry, all of that is laid at the foot of the cross. And God, in his indecipherable otherness, comes closer and comes visible. This, my sisters and brothers, my siblings in Christ, this is our calling. Our calling is at the foot of the cross. Our calling is simply living into the scandal of Jesus. As theologian Debbie Thomas writes, Jesus, who willingly took the violence, the contempt, and the hatred of this world and absorbed them into his own body. He chose to be the victim, the scapegoat, the sacrifice. He refused to waver in his message of universal love, grace, and liberation, knowing full well that the message would cost him his life. He declared solidarity for all time with those who are abandoned, colonized, oppressed, accused, imprisoned, beaten, mocked, and murdered. He burst open like a seed so that new life would grow and replenish the earth. He took an instrument of torture and turned it into a vehicle of hospitality and communion for all people everywhere. He loved and he loved and he loved all the way to the end. From a bedside to the streets, from prayer to pulpit, from baptisms to board meetings, from the cry for justice to the promise of the lion and the lamb, on and on we are called. We are called into this radical, topsy-turvy, confusing, amazing life of living as disciples of Jesus and as ordained ministers of word and sacrament and word and service. My friends, it is not always easy. It is sometimes perplexing and mystifying. It can be frustrating and challenging, and truthfully, sometimes the weight seems more than we can bear. Yet, the glimpses we get, we are honored to have of Jesus at those bedside tables, at those marches we go to, at those times when people ask those questions in confirmation. This is truly an extraordinary calling in the ordinariness of life. May you during this Holy Week and beyond. See Jesus. May you bask in his love. May you know that always and everywhere you are a child of God. And may you through your holy callings proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, who draws all people to himself. Amen.